Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
I'm Trey Newman.
All right, today we are going to project the final 2025 high school recruiting rankings. It's crazy, when I was preparing for this episode, 2025, that just seemed like the distant future, but here we are. We're going to do this as a team, so we'll do it as a draft. We'll go back and forth, and that'll be our list. So Trey, you have the first pick. Who's going to be guaranteed number one overall class?
This one's interesting. There's a handful of teams to me that actually could pull it off, but I'm just going to go with Captain Obvious. I'll say Georgia. They were number one last year, and I'm pretty, you know, in a draft like here, I'm safe that I'm getting a top three class. They've been near the top the last 4 or 5 years. I'm confident that they're going to be good on the field again, of course. And, you know, they have some motivation, you know, being left out of the playoff this past year. They don't want to get beat by Alabama in the SEC title again. So they still got a mission.
Yeah, I agree. It's the safest pick. Like, it's not right. It's very unlikely to look bad. And I would have gone with Georgia first also. Second pick would actually have been the only other team that I was considering. If I had the first pick, I would consider taking this team, but I also would have gone Georgia. But second pick, I'm taking Ohio State.
Okay, yeah. Oh.
Usually I'd go Bama here, but with Saban gone, there's just more of a wider range of possibilities for Alabama. We don't quite know what to expect. But Ohio State, again, safe pick here. They're pretty much always in the 2 through 5 range.
Yeah.
And they're off to a really good start. 3 top 10 players already committed, some crystal balls for some other top guys. It just seems like ever since Michigan won the title, they've have a renewed focus on both, you know, retaining guys from going to the NFL via NIL, and now maybe that's bleeding into recruiting as well. So
yeah,
I feel pretty good about Ohio State.
It seems like they have a healthy NIL program right now, and
yeah
I would have gone Ohio State there too.
The only risk, which why I wouldn't go with them number one, is there's a small risk of a coaching change.
I know, but like, again, their floor is like fifth. Like, yeah, even with the coaching change, maybe. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah. All right. So, just to be a little different, I'm actually going to go number three. I'm going to take LSU.
That's who's third on my list.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of people listening would just be like, Bama. But, but we'll get there.
And so, maybe they're right.
Yeah, of course. Like, I'm just trying to be a little different here. So, I'm going to say LSU because, you know, Brian Kelly... You know, we've talked about this before, but coming from Notre Dame, we wanted to see if he could prove his chops in the recruiting ranks. Now, granted, LSU as a program kind of can recruit itself, but now he's getting the recruiting, it seems like, to where it needs to be to really compete for titles. You know, as we stand here today, they're second, obviously very early, but they have 3 5 stars, 2 of the top 3 players, including number one player, quarterback Bryce Underwood. So they can develop, they can get some other, you know, personnel around him, I'm sure, in this class. So I'm going with LSU at 3.
Yeah. I agree. They're off to a great start. And you got to think, like, with Saban being gone, there's got to be but there could be a little bit of a drop off for Bama. Yeah. But okay, how far does Bama fall? I'm kind of hedging here because, right, they could still get the number one or number two class conceivably, but they could also fall to, I don't know, 6th, 7th, 8th, who knows? But I'm kind of splitting the difference here. I'm taking Bama at 4.
I would have too.
Okay. So we've got a very, like, our list might be identical so far. We did not discuss this before.
No.
But so it's just, we don't have a track record of Kalen DeBoer at, you know, of being an elite recruiter, but he also hasn't been at an elite program like Alabama. So we will see what happens. He's put together a good staff. I would think with Saban, you know, players were reportedly taking a little bit of a discount to go to Alabama and play for Saban. Might not be the same discount for Kalen DeBoer. So you would think and hope that Alabama is being a little bit more aggressive on the NIL front, and that'll, you know, keep them in the top 5 here.
And I think we've talked about it before, and it's like, we're probably not going to see, no matter what happens, unless they just somehow like go 5-7 and they just, you know, the bottom falls out, which that's not going to happen, but they're not going to really drop off in recruiting in 2025. Like, I'm pretty confident they'll have probably a top 5 class, but it's more like I'm looking forward to what happens more looking in the following years? Just obviously, and a lot of it will depend on the on-field success, but yeah, for 2025, it's pretty safe. They'll be right around here, I would think. Number five, I'm guessing I'm taking what you would take. I'm taking Oregon.
So I had someone else right before, but yeah.
All right. Close enough. I've got Oregon where, you know, Michael's boys, Lanning has built a recruiting machine. It seems, just because they've got a healthy NIL, some Nike money, of course. And I like them here because they're making the move to the Big Ten. So there's a bigger footprint nationally from them to recruit, not as if they didn't already have one to begin with. But they should also really have a good year on the field in 2024, I think. And if you look at last year, they finished third in the high school recruiting rankings. So it's not like this is that ridiculous.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I was, like I said, they were after the team I'm about to say here, so pretty close. But so for the next pick, I'm taking Texas. You know, their classes under Sark have been in this range anyway. What are we at, number six here? And it's just, I mean, I can't let Texas fall any further than this. Coming off of now a playoff appearance and heading into 2024, going to be a top five, you know, projected team. So, and they're going into the SEC, like everything. There's just so many positive things happening with the program. But the reason why I guess they weren't taken earlier is they don't have any top 50 players committed right now. It is only March, but you know, you're having to split hairs here. So that was my reasoning.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take this one. I'm a little nervous on this. I'm going to take Miami.
Identical. We're very, very similar.
Okay. And it's just because I say nervous just because we're getting to the point where Cristobal kind of needs to have a good season. He underachieved last year on the field, but the recruiting has obviously been amazing with him. They finished fourth in this recruiting, high school recruiting last year. They're already trending well in 2025. They got a couple five-star top 10 players. They're trending well to land a couple of those guys, but they should have a good class. But again, the only thing I'm worried about is them having a down year and this kind of falling down a few notches.
Yeah. The good news is their schedule is very favorable. So like, I think they're likely to have a better year than last. And yeah, you can't bet against Mario Cristobal with the NIL backing there. Like he's so committed to these are high school recruiting rankings.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that has taken a small class and gone heavy portal. Like he wants to build up that high school talent. So I like that pick there. I wonder if our lists will start to diverge because now it gets tougher and tougher to choose here. There's like, so this is the eighth pick, I believe. I mean, there are at least six or seven schools you could pick here. I am taking Oklahoma.
Ooh, whoa.
Is that different than you?
Much different. That's good. That's good.
Okay, so they were eighth last year, fifth the year before. It seems like a logical spot to take them. The concern would be moving to the SEC with a brutal schedule. You know, would a 7-5 type season affect things? Sometimes there's a lag in terms of recruiting. How you do the current year isn't necessarily the biggest thing. But yeah, I mean, I have a hard time seeing them finish much lower than eighth. So that's my reasoning.
This is purely like speculative, but it's year three for Venables. I feel like it's already kind of an important year. Like they were 6-7 the first year. They were 10-3 last year, but they really kind of faded down the stretch. I just have this like vibe, it might be totally fake, but just that there might be with the recruiting, maybe some recruits are just kind of in wait and see mode how this season trends.
Okay. No, that's fair. I mean, if we were putting our brains together, I might drop Oklahoma, you know, a slot or two with that input, but
now
it's done.
But I think we might flip the other way here because, Michael, I'm doing it. I'm saying USC.
Yeah.
I'm saying USC.
Yeah, that is who I would take right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, something's brewing right now with SC. Like this past – if we did this episode a week ago, I wouldn't have had SC this high. But they picked up some big commitments this past weekend. Like they have five commits, four of the five are top 100 guys. They're two of them are five stars. They seem to love the state of Georgia. Three of them are from Georgia. One's from Florida, another from Texas. So they're spanning the country. Something clearly has changed with the NIL. Something's going on where they're, or he's just got a dedicated shift this offseason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Now this might be, you know, the one thing I am with Lincoln Riley is obviously he could recruit to this level, but he might save some of his class for transfers because he's always does so well with that. But the way they're off, the start they're off to is great.
Yeah. I mean, I literally prepared for this episode a few days ago and I did have USC a few slots lower, but just kind of, yeah, have had them go higher because of the stuff that's happened. And the biggest thing, it's not just the commitments from those Georgia guys, because, you know, they could, by signing day, of course, they could decommit. Still a good sign to get them. But it is the buzz around NIL, and more than just buzz. I mean, Lincoln Riley used the words that there, it's been a monster leap in the last couple months. There's a report that the NIL from 2023 to 2024 has tripled.
Wow.
The Athletic reported that. And then I was actually, like an hour before this podcast, I was in the USC, the Peristyle message board. It's like the 24/7, you know, paid message board. And the, I think it's like the head of USC's collective. They've kind of, it seems like the Athletic director has kind of put all their eggs into one of the collectives. Like, hey, this is the one. Okay. Everyone donate. Let's do it. It's called House of Victory. Anyway, the head of that collective posted and he just said, yeah, like it is night and day,
it's glowing,
our budget for this year compared to last year. So, and they said, he said that that Tennessee lawsuit has changed everything.
Oh, that's true.
And they are now able to communicate with high school recruits and I forget the exact wording, but make them offer whatever it was. So it's like, okay, this is not just talk.
It wasn't just like two guys. Yeah.
This is real stuff has changed. Now, we'll see. It doesn't mean that they're going to,
of course not, but
get a top 10 class, but it improves my, I'm optimistic for USC's future when literally 2 weeks ago, I was like, eh.
Yeah, I know.
But all right, let's see. So my pick here, I'm going to take Clemson. This is just, I mean, they've been 10th, 11th, and 11th the last three years. So they're very consistent. And so picking them 10th here is unlikely to look stupid at the end of the year. Why not?
Yeah, no, and they've already got like four top 100 guys, so they're trending that way. All right, I'm going to take Auburn.
Single one of your picks, except for, I guess, the
that's funny, me,
Texas Clemson, Oregon swap, is I would have made the same pick as you.
That's funny, because so Auburn, this is again a little bit of a belief in Hugh Freeze. He had a great class this past year, and I think this Auburn team will improve in year two on the field. They got some recruiting momentum. Like I said, they finished 10th in the high school class last year, and the top guys in the 2025 class are so far are defensive, which is great, but it leaves me to think that Freeze is still going to be able to land some of his good offensive talent.
And maybe the, you know, if we keep saying Nick Saban being gone.
Oh,
maybe yeah. Hugh Freeze capitalizes guys here, and they're not as far apart in the rankings as we have them drafted here. We'll see. I mean, obviously, Bama's likely to be so much better on the field.
But, oh, yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Next pick. Oh, man, there's one team left that is like very well, it's a couple teams that are difficult to deal with, actually. But
yeah,
I won't go with the high variance team. I'm going to go with a dependable team here. Notre Dame. They already have 18 commitments, so they're number one overall as we record this. I think it was the same thing last year. But of course they're assured to fall from that spot. Their average star rating right now kind of puts a ceiling on this class. Like there, it seems, unless, you know, they really close super strong, like they're very unlikely to finish in the top five.
Right.
But finishing around, what are we, 12th here?
That's kind of what I right. Yeah. Yeah. They have, because, yeah, like you said, they have 18 commits. The next highest is 11. They've
got
a bunch of guys.
They did that last year too. And by the way, we didn't discuss I think we did it in a previous episode. Our rankings from last year, we predicted these last year. I think it ended up being like our best year. We don't measure it. I guess we probably should.
Just, yeah, that's, you know, a good point.
Measure how far off we are. But it, the big reason was Ryan made a, at least one really good pick. Like he had Auburn.
Oh yeah, he was bullish
higher,
on threes.
Where at
yeah.
the time it was like, whoa, Ryan, chill. But it ended up being a very good pick.
Yep. All right. It is, like you said, the last couple, it gets tough here, but I'm going to take Florida State.
Okay.
You know, Norvell and the Noles, they haven't been recruiting juggernauts, but after last season's great run, the recruiting seems to be trending up. They only have four commits so far in the 2025 class, but their average commit rating would put them in the top five. But again, means not much now, but they got two top 50 players. And that, if I look at, if you just kind of handicap it, like if you're like a horse race or something, they were 20th a couple years ago, 19th, and then 12th last year, and they're off to a good start this year. So maybe they can sneak into that. I mean, well, I guess I pegged them, what, like 13th here or something? So I think they could beat that.
Yeah. I guess they're running a Zenyatta race to last
year. Yeah, they're coming from behind.
Yeah. Okay. My next pick, I'm taking a high variance team here, Texas A&M. Their average star rating was 9th last year, and that was in a transition class. So that was pretty impressive. They only finished 19th overall because they went heavy portal in Mike Elko's, you know, first class, if you want to call it that. You would expect more high schoolers next year. Elko's staff, you know, seems to have proven to be at least decent on the recruiting trail. We know they have great NIL. I don't know. I mean, it's just they're tough. They're tough to predict, but this could be too low, right? Like they have that, we've seen, of course, number one potential. I don't expect anything close to that, but with how well they did last year, even when it's like last year had all the reason to be a terrible class, I feel like, and you know, went okay.
Yeah.
Although I say that, I mean, we have the early signing period, so that's kind of an advantage.
For on the field, like, because that can, you know, dictate some of this. I'm curious to see what Colin Klein can do with that offense with Connor Wigman, and then obviously see how Elko can recruit. Okay, I'm gonna take Tennessee here. So the first years of the Heupel era, they've kind of fallen in the 10 to 15 recruiting ranking range high school wise. They already have the number three quarterback committed, so maybe they can get some pieces around him to round out this class. Because the Vols, they need a little bounce back year after that. They had the incredible 11-2 season a couple years ago, but then fell to 9-4. Like, not terrible, but just not, they didn't quite match expectations.
Mm-hmm. I want to correct something I kind of just said about, so the early signing period, I said being an advantage. I mean, Jimbo was fired like a month before the early signing day. So I don't think that's really an advantage for a new coach coming in. But anyway, next pick. I like the Tennessee pick. I would have gone with that as well. I'll say Penn State.
Yeah,
this is usually where they are. Feels like they should be better, right? But then it's like, what teams am I going to put them ahead of? And the last 5 years, I think they've only finished top 10 once, but the hope is, you know, maybe now with Harbaugh leaving Michigan,
right,
Penn State can kind of take their spot, not necessarily in recruiting because they've been recruiting as well as Michigan, but just on the field, and that can help Franklin on the recruiting trail. So, yeah, speaking of Michigan, we still haven't drafted them yet.
I know. Yeah.
And we're about to do the 17th pick.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we are. So, and I'm between a few schools, but I'm going to say just Michigan's too easy. So I'm going to take Florida, and this is an extremely dangerous pick given Billy Napier. I mean, I know he's on the hot seat. We talked about, I think you mentioned last week or a week before, about how hard their schedule is. So I'm just banking more on the fact that this is a Florida program that can still recruit itself at least a little bit. Surprisingly, I guess the 2025 class has actually started pretty well. Only five commits, but they on average rating, they're pretty good. And they've fallen between 12th and 18th the last 4 years, and that was with some lean seasons in that period. So, and if Napier happens to overachieve, then I got a value pick here.
Okay. I would have taken, well, we're 17 and 18. What's the difference? But this is our 18th pick. Should we make this the last pick? We can discuss other teams afterwards. But yeah. 18th, I will take Michigan. Their recent classes have been comfortably outside the top 10. So that's why they've fallen this far. And now you've got a lot of new coaches. Of course, no Jim Harbaugh. Maybe that's a positive for recruiting because it's not like they were killing it anyway. It seems like they were kind of at their, relative floor for how great of a program that they are and how well they've been playing on the field the last couple of years. So maybe Sharon Moore puts more of an emphasis on that. Maybe Michigan knows, hey, we really got to step up our NIL game because we don't have Harbaugh coaching them up anymore. So we'll see, but I'll wait to see it before I believe it, that he's going to finish ahead of some really great programs with, more proven coaches.
Yeah. I mean, you just think for that, I've read that he's made a push, I guess, to be more involved with like NIL programs and functions. So, you would love to be able to capitalize on winning a national title.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. So this has happened, I feel like, every year for the past few years, I want to say. I mean, I would like to look back at the rankings, but those 18 programs that we just named, those feel like, I'm a bit of hyperbole here, but not really, the only 18 programs that can ever finish in the top five in recruiting. Like, let's just say if any of those 18 programs finished in the top five in any given year, not necessarily next year, but like in any given year, it would not be a surprise.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
But then the 19th program, it's like suddenly like, oh, whoa, if they finished in the top five, that would be crazy. It's a weird drop off, right? Because like, who would be the 19th program?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have on my list Missouri, Ole Miss.
That's weird. I had Missouri and Ole Miss next too. Because Missouri, I think I'm not saying they could be top five, but just in general, like they could get high because they're a wild card. You talked about their easier schedule this upcoming year. Drinkwitz seems to be having pretty solid footing there, and they recruited decent last year. So, yeah. And Ole Miss, the thing you worry about them with, though, I think they could. It's just that Lane likes to do a lot of the transfer portal. So,
yeah, it's possible. But, I mean, obviously, some of these schools will finish ahead of some of these 18.
Yeah, I'm sure. Of course.
Well,
last year there was like, Nebraska and somehow finished 18th or something. Well, they had Dylan Rayl. But yeah, like, on a consistent basis, those 18, like you mentioned, you're pretty confident they're going to be
there
up there in some order.
All right. So we mentioned Missouri, Ole Miss. Did you say any? Did you say Wisconsin?
Wisconsin could throw a wrench in there. Nebraska recently, but we'll see.
South Carolina.
It is funny how remember last year Texas Tech was way up there. They obviously fell back. This year they're doing it's almost the same. I mean, they're like 10th as we sit here today, I think, but obviously that'll fall. But it's kind of funny to see them perk up early.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it. I think that was that's fun. It's a fun episode every year. It's tough, but let us know what you think. You can hit us up on Twitter at CFBBros, or most importantly, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/collegefootballbros. We're always hanging out there in the Discord, and we would really appreciate your support as we've been, Trey, when's the last time we missed a week of podcasting?
We powered through the holidays. That wasn't an issue.
We don't miss a week. We don't, maybe once in the last like 4 years. I don't know. I'm guessing but
yeah, we always get something out.
But next week, actually though, I say that Trey and I are gonna be on vacation. So don't worry though. We are right now, as we speak, about to record an episode. So we'll have that out next week. But anyway, thanks for listening. And we will sort of talk to you next week.